Hey, what's up, nerds? This episode is brought to you by JunkOnYourTrunk.com, the sponsor of the Nerds with Attitude podcast and the only place you can find your official Nerds with Attitude podcast t-shirts, along with all your other nerd-related t-shirts. T-shirts are made out of high-quality material, printed fast, and shipped to you quickly. So check out JunkOnYourTrunk.com today and keep it nerdy.
What's up, nerds and music fans? This is Nerd Tunes, brought to you by Nerds with Attitude Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and I'm here with my co-host, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, nerds?
So, yeah, Nerd Tunes. This is a little new thing for us. Kevin and I were driving down the road not too long ago talking about music.
This goes back quite a way. We've been talking about this for a couple of months, doing a music-only nerd show.
Yeah, and I think it was last summer, wasn't it? Or was it...
It could have been during the Great War. I don't know. When we've been talking about it a while, it's been a while.
Yeah, it was either the Civil War, that time whenever, you know, Spider-Man jumped in.
Team Cap.
Yeah, Team Cap. Uh-huh. Or it could have been the Clone... It could have gone as far back as the Clone Wars. I don't know. I mean, those were some dark days.
Yeah, they were.
They were. But, yeah, so what we discovered...
Team Palpatine.
Team?
Yeah,
no, that's just...
Were you Team Jedi, or were you Team...
The separatists.
Yeah, anyways.
Anyway, okay. So what we discovered was, though we do have a lot of similar music tastes and we do appreciate music, I think about equally. I cannot function unless I have some kind of music playing in the background just to occupy my ADD rattled mind.
I pretty much same. I have something going either on my iPod or on my phone nonstop.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, for me, it goes back a little bit of my histories. Growing up, I lived in the middle of the desert, and we got no radio stations out there unless it was a country station. So I grew
40
up...
40 years later, nothing has changed.
Not really, no. No, it's top 40 in country now, so it's, I'm not even... I think it's worse. So I lived growing up listening to the fucking Judds and Neil Diamond. I know he's not country, but still he's about as country as you can rock and roll to, I guess. And then, you know, high school, I moved to the big city, Hesperia, California, and discovered that I had MTV, and music kind of opened up for me then. And I got a job at a music store. I worked there for a few years, and just I enveloped myself in the music to the point where I can't function without it anymore. And what's your background in
music? Well, actually, I wanted to ask your nerd credential. Like, how many songs are on your iPod?
Oh, at current on my iPod, there is over 15,000.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in the 12,400 range.
12,400 range, yeah.
And I approach music, my life, definitely more from the consumer side of it. Never worked in a radio store, never was in a band or anything like that. Actually, a lot of my musical tastes up until mid-20s were heavily influenced by, like, my older brother or some certain friends at school. Like, I never really listened to, like, top 20, like, pop culture, popular music that was on the radio, like Kiss FM and stuff like that.
Right.
It was always what people were listening to around me.
Right. Well, you grew up in an area that had a lot of radio stations to choose from.
Yes.
Too, didn't
but,
you?
You know, like, my brother was into metal growing up, so that was a lot of, like, Anthrax and Motley Crue, but then also, like, some, like, black metal and some other, you know, some glam stuff thrown in there. Okay. So in my formative years, there was a lot of, like, I love Motley Crue and Poison and, like, big hair bands.
Right, right.
But then due to the friends I had and stuff like in my like late teens, early 20s, it switched into sort of that, I don't want to say jock rock, but like that Godsmack,
Blink 182 kind of.
Like that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And then I moved to Seattle around the age of 25.
Okay.
And a friend of mine was way more into music, actually, my old buddy Matt, shout out.
And
he opened my ear eyes to like Flaming Lips and what I would say like true alternative music and stuff.
You don't get much more alternative than the Flaming Lips.
I've actually gone in and now back out of liking Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
There's still a couple tracks I like that may show up on a future episode.
Cool.
But so he opened me up to a whole like stop listening to Godsmack, listen to the Polyphonic Spree or
Good friend should do.
And so I sort of enveloped into my collection his music collection, and then that happened again once more with another buddy of mine. So that's how I ended up with the 12,000 songs. Because I still my 400 or 500 CDs that I collected up until I stopped buying CDs.
Nice.
And then, you know, when streaming, digital sharing was a thing, I doubled my collection that way. And then also then I got imported a collection from a friend twice. So
nice.
So what's
and I've
on
been
my,
sharing with you too.
Yes. So yeah. What's on my iPod currently is stuff that I've personally bought out, you know, went and bought and sought out, and the rest of it is stuff that I've just gotten from other people. So as I put the thing on shuffle, a lot of the most random stuff, like I've never heard this before, and so I'm kind of still years later being introduced to new music all the time, and I love it.
That's pretty cool.
Different things, and it leads me to search out different artists and maybe download something new that I pay for now, and nice. Yeah. So why don't you tell our listening audience what we have brought them for on our first episode?
Okay. Well, let's go over the rules a little bit too.
Okay.
Because there are rules to this game.
First rule of Nerd Tunes is you don't talk about Nerd Tunes.
That's right. That's right. And we set up a hard and fast rule that you will never hear the same song twice.
Yes.
So
which makes it more difficult for us the more episodes we do.
Yes, it does. So I wanted to start off episode one with being, and we're also only going to do 5 songs per person per episode, and we're going to kind of ping-pong back and forth between each other.
And there'll be a little less gabbing at the top of future episodes, but we wanted to let you know who we are.
Maybe, but we also like to talk. So.
Well, we are going to, in between each song, give our thoughts a little bit before we move into the next one. But
yeah. So the first episode here, we're talking the top 10, Jesus Christ, I just said top 5.
Total.
there will be 10 songs, but the top 5 quote-unquote favorite songs with an asterisk, which that is the top 5 favorite songs at this moment. Even though I will tell you right now, my number one has been my number one since 1989.
You're burning some big ones right out of the gate.
And that's kind of why I wanted to do it like this.
But we talked about this before we started recording, like my top 3 were very easy to fill, and then it was hard. I mean, I still have on my list in front of me like 4 alternates for those last 2 spots.
Right.
So I think I told you this may be our top 5 favorite songs part 1.
Yeah, so, I could see that.
But yeah, so each episode we're going to do a different genre.
Right,
episode.
We've got like top 5 soundtrack songs, top 5 soundtrack scores. So there's going to be a lot of episodes with no lyrics at all.
Guilty pleasures, cover songs,
exactly.
Indie songs, rock songs. I mean, the way you want to break down music is nearly infinite.
I'm also thinking a top 5 one-hit wonders. Could be a fun one.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You can reach out to us through our normal social media outlets if you have a top 5 that you want us to cover.
And we'd love to do it.
You can find us on Facebook at Nerds with Attitude Podcast. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us.
It is. And then there's this really long Twitter thing, .migs @nerdyattitude or all
yeah,
that
shit. Just @nerdyattitude.
Right.
We'll go directly to me.
Instagram is
just Nerds with Attitude.
Nerds with Attitude. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Let's start spinning some records. Which is actually
records.
Just pushing a button.
It is. That's another thing. Because growing up, I had, especially after I got the job at the music store, I had over 300 cassettes that I had in my headboard of my waterbed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Man, they got creative with cassette storage.
Yes, yes, they did. But no cassette storage ever held that many for me, so I just had them crammed in there. And, you know, frequent trips to Rhino Records and all that, buying imports and all sorts of shit.
So. Quick side note, I loved when music went to CDs because now the liner notes were larger, because reading lyrics off of a cassette fold-out was a nightmare.
Yes, and aren't you always disappointed whenever you get a CD and you open it up and there are no fucking lyrics in there?
Yeah, oh, great. Like artsy photos of the band. Thanks, guys.
Right. Especially when lyrics for bands make absolutely no sense.
Right.
And you're like, what does this mean?
Like I most have to Nirvana read this. Songs or Radiohead songs.
Absolutely. Okay. All right, so let's kick this off. We're going to go ahead and start with Kevin. Let's hear your number five.
All right. Coming in at number five, if you look on your iTunes, it'll show you the number of times each track has been played.
Yes.
And most of my high-end songs are played in the 14 to 16 range. Mm-hmm. And this one was played 28 times.
Oh, okay.
And I know that that's just on this current iPod because I had one previous that got lost, so the count started over.
Okay.
So coming at number five is my number one most played song. It's a guilty pleasure, and we can talk about it a little bit afterwards. It's by the Decembrists, and it's called The Rakes Song.
Okay. All right.
So make that 29 plays now.
29 plays, okay.
I love that song, and it...
Oh, hey there.
Goddamn autoplay. All right, we're working out the kinks on the first episode.
Yes,
sorry about
are.
That. It's this old-timey kind of song, mm-hmm. and it's about this bachelor who gets married and hates it and has awful kids, so he kills them all. And I've never wanted to like direct a music video for anything worse in my life. I just, the imagery that comes to mind when I listen to it, I know it's dark and it's terrible, but there's just something about it that just gets me going and I love it.
It's a great song. I actually have that song on my playlist, or not on this particular playlist, but I do have it in my iTunes as well. It's a great song.
I like the Decemberists, and that one is, they have that one and they have another one. It's the Shankill Killers, which is like telling a kid a lullaby. And if you don't go to sleep, the Shankill Butchers will come for you and kill you in the middle of the night.
It's like,
it's super dark.
One.
Yeah. We'll save it for another episode.
I think so.
But The Rake Song is my number five favorite song of all time.
I like that. That is a very good one. Now, my number five, it's what you'll find in a lot of my top five songs is they kind of have an epic vibe to them.
Mm-hmm.
And my number five, it's from January 1984. Also, a lot of my songs are from the 80s because, you know, I'm old. And it's just a song that it has been used in soundtracks on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it pops up, it's like they save this particular song for just these epic moments.
Mm-hmm.
And
my brain is reeling now. I'm like, what did you pick?
let's just go ahead and go right into it. From January 1984, it is Echo and the Bunnymen with The Killing Moon.
Nice.
He will wait until you give yourself.
And there we have it. That is Echo and the Bunnymen with the Killing Moon from their Ocean Rain album.
Man, I can't hear that without thinking of Donnie Darko.
Yeah. You know, Donnie Darko, and there was the flick that came out too. It was a little lesser known movie, a little bit less of a cult classic too, but it was called The Girl Next Door.
Oh, I'm familiar with all of my porn star turn normal girl movies.
Are you now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Elijah Cuthbert was hot at the time because of 24. So. And she was hot at the time.
She was, yeah.
Probably still is. She doesn't really do anything anymore.
I don't see her anymore. No, she's always in those articles at the end of an article that says, why Hollywood won't hire X-Star again. but no, that's one of those songs and one of those bands that you're lucky that I chose the shorter version of it, because my usual go-to of that song is 9 minutes long.
Yeah, I don't think on this podcast we'll ever be playing the full-length version of like Bela Lugosi's Dead for 12 and a half minutes,
no,
or in Inagata De Vita for 28 minutes,
Jesus
or
Christ.
Any of those other longer.
Yeah, no. No, that we won't. But I tell you what, Echo and the Bunnymen, they're one of those bands that I love, but they're horrible live.
Oh, that sucks.
It really does.
They just played recently.
They did,
I think,
in San Diego.
And that was the only band on the bill that I would have wanted to have seen.
Yeah.
On that bill, and that sucks to hear.
The first time I saw them, they opened for The Cure, and they were great. And it's just like the excesses of life have taken their toll on Ian's
voice.
Maybe
they've come back around and...
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I talked to a couple people that saw them, and no, his voice, whenever he sings, you know, he goes for that faith. So that part, he goes, yeah, it's just...
Well,
but it's also funny because every time he comes out on stage and he's introducing that song, he will say, this is the greatest song ever written.
Well,
Ian McCullough does not lack an ego.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so moving on to number four.
Yes.
My top four remaining songs, I'm going to call these are my emotional top five. These are songs that came to me at developing times in my life.
Okay.
And just sort of struck a chord. And when I hear them now, they take me back to special times in my youth.
That's cool.
And so they have a special place in my heart. So I call them my emotional top five, because I can recognize other songs as being better songs. And when you get to number one, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I love them.
Okay.
If they're on, I will listen to it till it's done, no matter what I'm doing.
Okay.
So my number four, coming in from 1994 from the band Live, off their album Throwing Copper,
yes,
is Lightning Crashes.
Okay.
Pulling from the center of the earth,
All right, there you have Throwing Copper.
God damn, that's a good song.
It is a great song.
I have not heard that song in 10 years, believe it or not. Yeah, it's been at least that.
It gets me every time. I saw them at the Greek Amphitheater, and that was their big closer, and it was almost like a spiritual moment.
I bet there's just...
just hearing it live and with the lights going. And
there's just such a buildup to that final go-around of the chorus. It's just such a great song. It's so well done.
All right, so what's up for you, number four?
Okay, so number four for me, it's that old man rock song that every old man loves. Uh-huh. That you know,
Boot Scootin' Boogie, or is it?
No, it's the what's the my the Billy Ray Cyrus?
Oh, good lord, no!
No, we're gonna do top five country songs that really suck. One time, I swear to God.
You know, the there's almost a bonus track at the end of Throwing Copper that's them doing kind of a country-ish song.
Okay,
and it's as close to listening to country as I will get. I actually loved it back in the day when it came out because I do not like country music.
I don't remember that. I mean, I haven't had that cassette in decades, but I just remember it being Blood Red and so good. But
anyway, so right, your number four.
My number four song, Old Man Rock. I chose a live version because it also happens to have the greatest guitar solo of all time in it.
Oh, that's a big proclamation.
It's a big proclamation, but David Gilmour is my favorite guitarist of all time.
I love his girls.
You love his... God damn it, Kevin. God damn it. So, we're going to go...
So stupid.
That's okay. That's okay. All right. So here we go. My number four, it is Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
Nice.
So there might be a bit of a build up here. It's from the Delicate Sound of Thunder album.
Okay.
Isn't masturbatory guitar god awesomeness. I don't know what is.
And that classic rolling stop rock finish.
Yeah.
Big finish.
Exactly.
I like it.
So that was from the Delicate Sound of Thunder live album. And it's one of the, one
nice.
Of the greatest.
That's a good choice.
Thank
it's
you,
good.
Thank
something
you.
To jam out to.
Yeah.
So coming in at number three for me is also, we were talking about Civil War earlier.
Yes.
And Team Cap, Team Iron Man.
Yes.
Back in, if you'll remember, in the 90s. When grunge rock
way back
hit, and there was sort of a Team Nirvana, Team Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I was Team Pearl Jam.
I, too, was Team Pearl Jam, okay. but with the caveat, not until, like, their second or third album.
Okay.
They were so white hot that I had, like, a pushback.
Did you?
Everyone fucking loved Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, ah, fuck Pearl Jam. I don't give a shit. I like Meatloaf, who also had the number one hit on the radio at the same time as Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah.
I would do everything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Yeah. Yes. Also, 11 minutes. We should play that sometime. That'll just be the whole episode. Anyways, I'll get it. I have a whole tangent on Meatloaf, but not for right now. So I was Team Pearl Jam. By the time, I think actually by when Versus came out, they had been out enough and people had moved on to other things that were popular. And I'm like, all right, let me try these guys. It's like, this rocks.
Yeah,
that
was a great album.
Fucking on. So 10 is an amazing album. Mm-hmm. Versus is a good, very good second follow-up. It's like an extension of 10.
Yes.
And then they started kind of developing their own style from there. And I just blanked on what their third album was. But anyways, they started kind of changing their style and finding their own way. And it was less grungy and more Pearl Jam.
And now they're just kind of, nowadays, just kind of generic rock.
Kind of.
Yeah. There's nothing really special.
So for me, I love the album 10. And the song that stands out for me was actually their third hit, their third radio single, which came out in 1992.
I bet I know what it is.
It is Jeremy. It is. Was something that mommy wouldn't I would get every last second of that guitar ring out. I murdered this at a karaoke one night.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that, but the last 90 seconds or so is not on the screen because it's just all guttural noises of him going, I knew them all so well. I just memorized them. And I know it's a drunk crowd at a bar. Brought them to their feet. They standing over for karaoke of
That's
Jeremy.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I've never done karaoke. I don't have the guts to do it.
There's a reason why it's held in bars.
Yeah.
Liquid courage.
A little bit of alcohol goes a long, long way.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's All up right. on your...
It's number three.
Number three.
Yeah, my number three, I'm sticking with this whole hippy-dippy shit, so...
it's all right, I'm sticking with my 90s.
90s, yeah. no, this one goes back a little ways. It goes back before I was born, and... it's one of those songs that just I heard when I was a kid and I loved it. And I think it might have been my grandfather actually playing the song for us that got me to love it because he was a guitarist and he was an amazing singer and guitarist. But so anyway, it is from the Abbey Road album 1969. It's the Beatles with Here Comes the Sun. Comes the Sun by the Beatles.
That would be much, much lower on my list.
Yes.
Surprisingly, that falls into more of sort of a hippie, like you said, hippy-dippy era of music that just doesn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
And
I get that.
Some of the Beatles are fine, but that one in particular, I don't know. I believe it was used, you know, in like a Wes Anderson movie or something, and that's kind of what it makes me think of now or films that I love. I'm not a fan of that one.
for me, the Beatles, Bob Dylan, the Beatles, all that's, I love it all. My music taste runs the gamut except country.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, I know, right?
As is the correct way of thinking.
Exactly, exactly. But no, that just brings back the memory of sitting around the fireplace with my grandfather playing his guitar and my mom and my aunt singing along with him as he played that song or a Dylan song mm-hmm. or something like that. And it just takes me in the Wayback Machine. So.
Nice.
So tell me, what's your number three?
So
we're on number two now?
We are on to number two.
Damn.
We're almost done.
Damn, son, this has taken too long, but still, that's good. I like it.
So my number two, I continue our trip through the mid-90s.
The more relevant
and,
time.
And I believe yes. this was slightly later than Pearl Jam. This came in 1993 okay. off the debut album and probably still the most requested popular song for this particular band, and they almost never play it live.
Okay.
And before I, and this was also when I say it's an emotional favorite, this song, well, I'll say it's Creep by Radiohead.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah.
Speaks to that feeling like you're a loner, not fitting in, that kind of feeling.
It's a great song. It came out whenever we were working in the music store,
yeah.
and nobody ever thought this band would make another album.
You know, what's funny is this is my number two favorite song.
That's great.
And I've never owned Pablo Honey. I actually had to download the album to get this song.
Oh,
and,
wow.
and I have like 8 covers of it by other bands, and but you hear it on the radio so often, it never really registered with me. Like, hey, it's not in my own library, but it is now.
You're welcome.
But you know, coming out in 1993, I mean, I was in high school. I was a sophomore in high school. So when you're going through that, things suck, and you're trying to figure out who you are and who your friends are, and not fitting in with this or that. It just really spoke to me. And it still has a strong place for me with its lyrics, like, you know, what am I even doing here? And I'm a creep, and I'm a loser kind of thing, kind of self-doubting yourself.
Like,
so anyway, so coming in at number two is Creep by
I want a perfect wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
But you know, I belong here now.
Do you?
I have come around. I have found my place.
Well, you're fucking special.
I am fucking special.
You're so fucking special.
Yeah, I don't do clean versions. I only do explicits.
Fuck that.
The way they were written.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
Swearing is
fucking
just
fun.
A word, man. And yes, it's fucking fun. All right, so what's up on your number two?
My number two, it actually comes from my favorite band of all time. I know we're getting to the deep dive here.
We are going
to
hear some Billy Ray Cyrus after all.
Absolutely. It's my achy breaky heart.
That's what it was called.
That is what it's called. It just came to me. Like an aneurysm or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy Ray. So, in 87, I was listening to, you know, still in the shit music realm, and I went into high school in 88, and I still was listening to shit music because I didn't know what was good or I didn't know anything. And some guy, who's a complete dick now, but he handed me a cassette tape, and he's like, you should really listen to this. It's the Thompson Twins. And I'm like, okay. Okay, so I pop in the cassette and I'm listening. It's got, you know, Hold Me Now from the Thompson Twins on
right.
it. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good song. And then I'm like, okay, song's over. Flip over the album, hit play, and the thunderous keyboards of the mighty Depeche Mode came on. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And just like that, like some kind of demon.
I thought you were going to tell me that the Thompson Twins was your favorite band of all time. And I'm like,
no.
With the Walk 500 Miles? Like, is that?
No. That's not the Thompson Twins.
Well, they're twins, aren't they? It's a different band?
It's a different band.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Depeche Mode.
Yes, Depeche Mode. But that is not this song from Depeche Mode. This is my favorite song from Depeche Mode. It's from 1993. It's from the Songs of Faith and Devotion album. And it is the final song on the album. And whenever I saw them live the first time, they opened with this song. And that's talk about music bringing you into the memories, bringing those memories back. Just seeing Dave Gahan and the boys up on stage performing this song behind a purple curtain was just fucking rad. So anyway, 1993, here we go. It's
by a higher.
Right.
Just let it marinate, let it float out in there. Yeah.
In the ear holes. Yes. Now, the first time I ever saw them, I was telling you, the band performed that entire song behind a purple curtain until halfway through, Dave Gahan came out on stage in front. And he was doing his thing and shaking his ass like Dave Gahan does.
Like he does.
And performed the whole rest of the song with only him out there. And you could see the shadow of the band backlit on the curtains and all that. And then the minute that first, that very last dong comes on, they whip the curtains back really quick. And there was the rest of the band. And it was like a religious experience. It was
nice. That's how they opened the show, basically.
Yeah, that was it. And then they launched into some Violator stuff. But that song right there, that's why that one resonates with
me. How many times have you seen them live?
I have seen Depeche Mode 6 times. Number 7 will be this October 14th, Saturday at the Hollywood fucking Bowl.
Yeah, the Hollywood Bowl. They're on my list of must-see bands, and I purposefully have chosen to not go to 3 shows in my backyard that I could easily have gotten tickets to because it's the Hollywood Bowl. I hate going there. I hate concerts there. Mm-hmm. I don't like it as a venue. It's for the tickets I can afford. You are so far back. I might as well be listening to the radio because you can't feel the band. You can't see the band. And I was thinking about driving to Vegas, but then other things came up, and I was like, I'll just go by myself and go see him at a stadium in Vegas, but.
Then it's Vegas.
And I did swear off Vegas because they suck. But all right, so moving on, we'll wrap this up. We are down to our number ones.
Oh, my
number
God.
Number ones. We got to put in a theme music there.
Da, 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 da. I don't know.
Maybe some reggaeton horn.
I'd play something for you on one of my guitars, but I'm a shitty guitarist, and I just have guitars. I'm not very good at it. Yeah.
So coming in at number one, the track that I'm going to play from you is actually a remixed, remastered 1991 version, sticking with my mid-90s. But the song itself actually came out in 1985.
Okay.
And
I'm intrigued.
This is my favorite band, non-ironically, of all time.
Oh, boy.
There's something I appreciate about their cheesy 80s hairband nature.
Okay.
I appreciate their legit musicianship. Mm-hmm. I've seen them live, and it was amazing.
Okay.
And so my favorite song...
Who is it? Who is it? Tell me.
Of all time.
God damn it. The suspense is killing me.
This is number one for me, Motley Crue.
What?
Home Sweet Home.
Yeah.
again, you just want to let it hang. Just that piano and that final chord. And
you just whipped out the Crew.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. Motley Crue, non-ironically, is my favorite band. I listened to them. My older brother was a big Motley Crue fan. He got to see them when they did like a whiskey show.
Oh,
which
wow.
I think it was either the Motley Crue show or Metallica show that he saw in a small club that legitimately gave him hearing damage to this day. He has a permanent tone in his ear.
Really?
From being at one of these small club shows. But anyway, so growing up around Motley Crue, they just imprinted on me at a young age. And they close every single show ever with Home Sweet Home, and then they take a bow. And there's a great Motley Crue documentary, came out 90, somewhere in there. Mm. And there's a great music video for this that's just all tour footage. Actually, I think it is the music video for Home Sweet Home, but it's in that documentary
too. That's what I remember.
But yeah, it's just that's them. That's how they do it.
That's awesome.
So that's my number one.
Non-ironically, I love Motley Crue also.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was listening to Motley Crue at the same time. I can hit play on my iPod and it goes from Metallica to, which is rare, very rare.
Yeah.
I'm not a Metallica fan really, to Depeche Mode, to Motley Crue, to this next band that we're going to play, which is my absolute favorite song of all time.
It's Enya, right?
It's
spoiler.
It's Clannad. Enya. It's not even Enya. It's her sister. It's going with that Irish theme. No, it is. It is not Enya. It is not Clannad. Though I do have both of those on my iPod.
I think I have an Enya CD somewhere in my collection.
I've got like four.
Yeah, that's too many.
I'm not ashamed to admit it, man.
All right. Let's wash that away with your number one.
My number one is not the Crue. It's the Cure.
The Cure.
The Cure. 1987. Okay.
No, right, before you hit play,
yeah.
We're just going to let The Cure take us on out.
Yes.
So thank you so much for listening to this first episode of Nerd Music.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, and please come back and listen again. We will be back.
We will.
And we're not like Men at Work. We're not going to say, we're Men at Work, and we will be back, and never show up again.
Right.
We are at Nerd Tunes, and we will be back. So
yes,
please.
Make sure you drop us a line on Facebook, Nerds with Attitude Podcast, and let us know what top five you want us to do.
Yeah, or even play along with this post.
Please
let us know what your top five songs are.
We are interested.
We promise not to make fun of you too badly.
If we can put ourselves out there and make fun of ourselves,
absolutely.
We promise we'll treat you nicely.
I mean, Motley Crue's his favorite. I mean,
come on, right?
Come on.
It's great, though.
That's yeah.
All right, take us on out of here, Scott.
All right, so it's 1987 from Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. It is the cheesiest Cure song. It is Just Like Heaven. I love it, so deal with it.
Awesome. Keep it nerdy.
In a world with far too many Star Wars podcasts comes one more Star Wars podcast. Yahoo! The Sarlacc Digest, a bi-weekly show covering Star Wars news, toys, book reviews, fan theories, and new canon discussion.
All wings report in.
Join the Sarlacc Digest hosts as they bring you knowledge and lore. Man, whenever the Yuuzhan Vong dropped the moon on Chewbacca's head, I shed a
Holy
tear,
shit,
man.
Dude. What? Not... canon.
Jason and Jaina Solo.
Why is it so hard for everybody to understand?
The passion.
So when Luke took off Vader's helmet, you could just see the sadness going in, the lighting and the tears forming, and it's just the soundtrack just starts raising. And then
you know it's a movie, right?
What?
The fandom.
Okay, so I have my Darth Vader camping chair for the line, my brand new exclusive Luke and Leia Vans, my Star Wars pop vinyl wristband that I just got. Oh, did I tell you that I was going to get my next...
And the collecting world. I got the orange carded figures.
I got the green card.
I got the red card.
Okay, do you have circles on hand? No circles, half circle?
Half circles?
Half circle. You got Palpatine Blue Saber?
I do, and the barge.
What the f***? No, not the barge.
The Sarlacc Digest, bringing you line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're proud members of the RLU, Raw, Live, and Unedited Podcasting Network. Find us, rawlivepod.com.